Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are going to start a new series this morning. Titled Take Off the Limits, because there were one or two things that God spoke to my heart when I spent some time away in a personal retreat. And I just trust God to help me to communicate some of those things, because it's a year. Tell your neighbor, it's a year of the overflow. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 says, every house is built by someone, but he that builds all things is God. And to every house that God builds, he gives an instruction and direction. That's one of the reasons why it looks like the team that we have may not necessarily be the team of the church down the road or the other church you're probably familiar with, because in every house that Jesus builds, there are different stages and different growths, and there are different plans he has for different local assemblies. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why we don't do copy and paste. Amen. There are things that have been done in a particular local assembly, that's God's plan for them. That's God's purpose for them. That's not necessarily God's plan and purpose for every church. There are things that are general to every church. But there are things that are particular to certain local assemblies because of the plan and purpose of God for the church. Now, so God spoke to us and says, this is our year of overflow. Say overflow. Say that means abundance. That means increase. And so you and I have got to learn to take off the limits. That's our responsibility. I heard from a man of God years ago that every prayer you pray that you hold God responsible from start to finish is an irresponsible prayer. Let me say that again. Every prayer you pray that you hold God responsible from start to finish, he says, is an irresponsible prayer. So much is why. One of the reasons why God became a man is to have participation with man. There has to be participation. There are things that you will do in the light of what he has done. We need to keep reminding ourselves that's responsible Christian living. In other words, there are things God is not able to do because men are not standing in their place and men are not playing their role. And so in this year, the year is still fresh, like we listened to in the exhortation earlier. If you're not careful with the prophecies that came forth, the laying of hands, you won't find full expression of the favor and the blessings of God. If you don't understand how some of those things work, there's a working out of your salvation. There's a way you're going to work out those instructions and directions God has given. Even the laying of hands is worked out. In other words, because the hand of God came upon you, this is God's plan for you by prophecy. There are things you ought to do that will still require a personalized walk with God. Very important. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now notice the elders. So he's talking about the faith of the elders. He's giving us a definition. He's not talking about the general definition for faith. He's talking about the definition of the faith of the elders. If you go to the previous chapter, you will notice he's talking about certain things. Let me read from verse 35. Cast not away therefore, that's verse 10, chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great compensation of reward. For you have need of patience, and after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Now faith. So faith is the substance of things they hoped for. It was the heaviness of things they did not see. For by it the elders obtained. Now, interestingly, the one obtained there in the original Greek does not imply obtain. Actually means to give witness, to bear witness to something. So, for by it the elders in their generation, they bore witness to certain realities. Their faith was the substance of what they were hoping for. It was the evidence of what they couldn't see. And by that faith, they gave witness or bore witness to certain unseen realities. And look at verse 3. It says, through that same faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Again, and the word worlds there is word aeons. That means ages and dispensations. It's not talking about galaxy, moon, and stars. No. Okay, that's cosmos. Now, the word aeons means time frames, dispensations. That's what it's about to explain. And if you follow through all the way to verse 6, you will see what the word worlds actually refers to. Because verse 4 says, by faith Abel, who is an elder, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that he be dead yet speaking. By faith Enoch. So he's mentioning who those elders are one by one. He now lets you know Abel did not exist in the time frame of Enoch. In Abel's day, it was faith. He found expression in what he offered. In Enoch's day, it was faith. He found expression in his walk with God. Look at what he's about to say next, verse 6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is. A better translation is this. You must believe what he says. He must believe what he has revealed to you of himself. You must believe what he has revealed to you of himself. But without that faith, or without believing what he has revealed to you of himself, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, or he that responds to that invitation, must believe that God is, and God is a rewarder of those that want diligently seek. Can you see the responsibility now? You are to diligently seek, not passively seek. Diligently seek. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah. How many others have we mentioned? Abel? Enoch? Who else now? Noah. Can you see that now? And then it's going to go all the way down to Abraham. Verse 7, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. So, one by one, each was called, and that call was an invitation, and their response to that invitation was a diligent seeking out of God who called them onto specific assignments. Let me say it again. So, we are born again. We are following the same footsteps of faith, but notice, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek based on the invitation he has offered. Why? Their faith is the substantiation of what they hope for. It was the evidence of what they couldn't see. So, though they couldn't see, they recognized God for who God was, and God rewarded their diligence in following him or pursuing him. Hallelujah. Now, God hasn't changed formula. The difference is that more is expected of you and I because their realm or in their age or dispensation, there was something that was meant to happen that had not happened. Go with me to chapter 1. If you're a student of the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, are more or less saying the same thing. Hebrews chapter 1, from verze 1. God was sundry times and in diverse manners, he spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Whenever you hear the word prophets, whatever was said to the fathers is called prophecy. Is that also? All right, so God spoke by the prophets to the fathers, but God is speaking to the fathers. Interestingly, some of the fathers are also prophets. Amen. Like Abraham. So just follow. God was sundry times and in diverse manners. So in multiple ways or diverse ways, in different dispensations, God spoke by the mouth of the prophets to the fathers. Verse 2. The same God now, in these last days, he has spoken unto us by who? By his Son, who has, he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also what? He made the world. Verse 3. Notice, who being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4. Being made so much what? Better than the angels, as he has by inheritance done what? Obtained a more excellent reputation than they. So, what was the reputation Jesus obtained? Go back to verse 2 again. Just follow. We're looking at taking off the limits. We want to lay the foundation. In this last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son. So, the ministry of Jesus, his birth, his death, his burial, resurrection, is God speaking. God is saying something. Now, he has appointed him to be the one that will inherit or to bring to pass all things. And it was through him that God made the worlds. Now, the word worlds is the same word that we looked earlier in Hebrews chapter 11. That's the word ages. Dispensation. So, God used Jesus to frame the ages. Let me explain. What Abel knew was Christ. What Enoch knew was Christ. What Noah knew was also Christ. In other words, in their generation, each was displaying Christ, symbolizing Christ, and expressing Christ in their dispensation in different ways. Now, remember, God spoke in diverse ways at different ages. Hallelujah. So, in Noah's day, an ark came out because that was Noah's understanding of God's plan of salvation. In Enoch's day, Enoch walked with God, or he personalized a walk with God, which is God is a God that wants an intimate relation to each person. But the Bible says he walked with God and he was not found. He had this testimony before he passed on that God won, took him. Hallelujah. Because it's a resurrection and a life. Now when it came to Noah, when it came to Abel, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. New Testament language, whenever you hear the word more excellent sacrifice, it means even if you saw Abel in those days bringing out a lamb, it was not the lamb he was focusing on. It was the lamb that will be slain that he was focusing on. Hallelujah. So it's called more excellent. Are you with me this morning? Yeah, we're going somewhere. This is what I want you to see. When the Bible says God has appointed Jesus to be the ear of all things, everything that they did in the shadows, Jesus is the substance of it. Now, if they did those things in the shadows and God came true, what do you think God is ready and able to do in the reality? He has brought all those things to pass. Look, go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 2 says, by whom also he framed the ages, or the reason why there were different dispensations was the activity we see in men, where their activities of faith or what God personally spoke to them about. Let me say it this way. Christianity was never designed of God to be boring. It was designed of God to be an exciting adventure of a consistent walk with God, where you're hearing from God daily as he exposes your heart to his plan and purpose. It wasn't meant to be a ritual. It's meant to be a living fellowship with the living God who has plans for each individual that is found in Christ Jesus. Now, remember, 1 Corinthians, we're going to come back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Say, I'm thinking of the limits. Say, I'm thinking of all limits. Because you won't be able to take off limits on career, on personal progress. God's expectation of you are so big, they are so grandiose, that if you were to sit down one-on-one in a discussion with God, have you met individuals before whose worldview is far bigger than yours? Have you met them before? Now, let me give you an illustration. For instance, there are people who fly over the weekend for lunch in Paris and a meeting in Texas, and they're back on Monday. And you also want to go, but you don't want to come back. Because when you think about the airfare, like lunch, there's mama put over there now, so if I lunch, if I go, I'm not, minimum 2 weeks. We must stay there 1 month. Now, the reason why they come is because what you think is money is change. What the opportunity is greater. And I've discovered this about everybody who has true riches. What is driving them is no more resources. It's a goal and a plan. There's a dream on the inside. And the dream is bigger than resources. Because it's a dream that commands resources. And that's one reason why once that dream is absent, you see men going to squalor, into addictions. You see them going into things that they shouldn't venture into. You know what's the issue? It's not the money, it's the void or the inside of that dream. A dream only God can give. I need you to understand. Listen, even those who are in the world who don't know Jesus, that manage to pick up on God's plans, because there's some that God uses that way, it will give them a thought. That dream keeps them alive. That dream restores their health. Because the thought is from God. So when you hear God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, you are not even designed of God to pick up your own thoughts. It's God's thoughts you are designed to process. He made you. He framed you. He fashioned you. He knows the thoughts that will bring your prosperity and your increase. He knows how you will live life and you will be shortchanged. He does. God does. And that's why we're in a year where it's a personalized walk, not a general walk. Mm-mm. It is you following God step by step and hearing what he has to say concerning all areas of life, which you cannot accomplish without personal devotion with him. You can't. Glory to God. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and of evil. To give you a hope and a future or an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Look at the next verse. Look at what God says in the next verse. Then you shall call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. So you are confused now. You know what to do again. The thoughts are waiting before you prayed. The thoughts are waiting before the confusion. The thoughts are waiting before you got to the crossroads of life where you don't know what to do again. He says, but something will happen to you. You will come to a place where, except God comes through, you can't make progress. You will call upon me. You will go and pray unto me. Notice, and I will hearken. That's a promise. Say, when I pray, say, God answers. Even when I don't receive answers immediately, God is hearing me and God will answer me. You know how many believers doubt that fact? You will call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken to you. Look at next verse. It says, then you shall seek me and find me. And when you search for me, when you shall search for me, what? All your heart. Do you know there are very few people that search for God with all their heart? How many of us know many times when you are looking to God for something, you have a plan B? Don't lie. So we're in church. Yes or no? So if the money doesn't come in by Tuesday, I'll cover as TV. There's a plan B already. Now it says, you search for me, you find me when you search for me, what? all your heart. That means absolute trust. Now, it takes God to come true for you in one or two situations. That's why I always say this to individuals. Search your life. Take stock. Do a personal evaluation. In your Christian work, even if your work has been for just 2 years, you will discover there are milestones of God's vigilance in your life. God has created your account ahead of time so that when tough time comes, you will remember that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know, the challenge we often have because of the world we're living in is we tend to forget. The psalmist said, "Bless God, O my soul." And everything that's within me, what? That is all your heart. Everything that's within me, bless the holy name. Bless God, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Why? Because that is all your heart. And there's a part of your heart that is seeking him, and in seeking him, must not forget in your seeking all his benefits. There are things he has done. You knew yourself. If God didn't show up, you were gone. I can tell you story after story. If God did not show up, so you can't come and, you see, I'm not just posturing as a Christian. I'm not just sharing with you because I'm a minister. I'm telling you what I'm, because I'm a son of God. And I've tasted. And from what I've tasted, there's more to taste. Do you understand? In other words, I've seen God's faithfulness firsthand. Not somebody else's story, my story. I've tasted it. And there is no believer that God doesn't give such experiences. In other words, it credits your account because the days are coming. Let me say it this way. Pastor Tony said something like that just your blessing. Jesus did not tell you there won't be tribulations. How do you read your Bible? So why are you so shocked that there's a challenge? Think about it. Other patriarchs face what you face and face life and death issues. Yours is not even life and death. It doesn't mean that you may lose your job. And life goes on, even if your job is lost. You didn't lose your God, you lost your job. And your God is a provider. So why are you surprised? Jesus said, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. Just to, but be of good. You know what that means? When the tribulation comes, what should you do? Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome. Is that a cliche or is that true? Is that a cliche or is that true? So why don't you act like it's true? Because until you start this way, you are forgetting all of the benefits. But sometimes in my meditation, I have a picture of a benevolent father who looks at some of our antics and is a little disappointed. It was just January. How many days was January? How many days ago was January? Someone said that January is very long. Usually it's very long for people that don't have money. And it's very fast for people when they have what? Money. I felt that you won't survive January. The funny part is that you also said that January last year. This is January this year. What made you forget how God rescued you? How it came true? How somebody remembered you that you had forgotten? And the money came just on time. How come you have such a short memory? You see the kind of world we're living in? When someone says that, bless not all my soul, so that in blessing something will happen to my soul, I will remember what? All his benefits. In those benefits, I will use that to seek him, the one who wants to be found. In his seeking him, what will drop? I know the thoughts, not thought, thoughts. Plural. That means persisting, there's a thought. There's something I want you to accomplish. Your prosperity is in finding that thought. And it's one of the reasons why many times when we pray, we don't receive answers. Most believers don't even have a word for what they are believing, what they are trying to believe for. So what do you call it believing? Who offered you the opportunity? Who told you it's possible? So what are you believing? Do you have scriptures? What makes you think it will come true? That's the question. Pastor was saying this morning, do you have scriptures that you're holding on to? Even the word of prophets that you're holding on to. Did God tell you what you say you believe what? Did God tell you it's possible? This is time for it. This is season for it. By faith we understand that every dispensation was framed by the utterance of God. And the utterance came to men. And the men carried out the thought that God put in their heart that they downloaded. And they ran with it. And for 120 years, Noah was not discouraged even though the cloud was clear. The sky was clear. But when it began to rain, God's faithfulness came true. It began to rain. Everybody was laughing at him. You are a madman. I hope you know, in the days of Noah, it has never rained before. Oh, maybe you don't understand. By faith. What is faith? Look at Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11 again. Verse 6. But without faith, it's possible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And as a reward of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7. Now look at what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear. And ask King James. What other translations do we have over there, please? Do we have any other contemporary version that we have? NIV, GNT, TPT, Message. Anyone, just give me one. NIV first. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen as yet, in holy fear. So the word fear there is what? Holy, which is another word for reference. Do you understand? That is, you stand in awe of what God is revealing to you. Actually, having a teaching, a revelation from heaven, he moved out of reverence. That means it's individual, it is for him alone, and the reward of God is because you believe me when nobody has believed me. So, he built an ark to deliver his family, and by building that ark, in the same time when the family was being delivered, it was a message of condemnation to those who didn't believe. Hallelujah. So, Noah built an ark. Why didn't Abel build an ark? Because that wasn't the revelation. So, in every dispensation, and let me say this, God is full of thoughts. Because you are not here by accident, you were pre-planned. Your life was pre-planned. Your life was pre-planned by God. So I know the thoughts that I think towards you is an invitation that if you will leave your environment, if you will leave the norm, the common, that people are saying, you know, again, because we're living in a day of competition. Some years ago, I hope you know there was a time in this country there was nothing like pure water. How many of you know that? Some of us are not aware. There was a time there was no generator. When I was growing up, there was no generator. We did use stick light once in a while. In those days, we used to use a kerosene lantern, which I'm not sure exists again. Kerosene lantern. And then some of us were able to get this lamp. This one, like this gas lamp, very big. So I used to wonder, how did we survive in those days? No generator whatsoever. How many stations existed on TV? And then there was a time to watch TV. You can't watch it in morning except weekend. I think 4 o'clock, what time does TV start? We come back from... Now, did you survive or not? Yes. Did you grow up or not? Yes. Were you well trained? Yes. So how come we think today we cannot survive? Now, so somebody came up with pure water. What do men do? Everybody copied. While people are busy copying, somebody is downloading another idea that will sell. That, I hope you understand. Why? Because God also wants advancement for mankind. So he's constantly giving solutions. You know, shortly, listen here, shortly, they're already attempting it, shortly, there will be a natural cure for cancer. Because God is not going to wait for people to finish dying or for healing evangelists to get to everybody. They say, see, there is nothing that comes upon the earth that God doesn't make a mockery of true men. And there's no cure that medicine picks up that God doesn't first offer to a believer. But believers that are religious, they reject the thought. I don't want to give too many illustrations, but I know a particular black man in the U.S. I think last name is Carver. I don't know how many inventions he patented. And they tried to persuade him to use it for financial gain. And he told them, if I use this for financial gain, God will take it from me. So what do you mean? He said, I go into the lab. I pray in the spirit. I open my notepad and thoughts start dropping from heaven. And I write down the things he brought up from peanuts because God said so. How many of you have heard that name before? You have. And there are many people like that. That God gave a thought in it. Now, listen carefully. They were not chasing wealth, but wealth came. The meaning of the word is a byproduct. But what they offered to the world was a solution to man's problems, which is God is still interested in. Say amen. Now, the same thing is happening now. It's easy. God hasn't changed. The question is, when will you take your place and play your part in those things God is doing? We're not raising a bunch of people who are only spiritual alone. Be smart. Be intelligent. Play in the money market. Play in the intellectual arena. Bring the intelligence of God. Daniel was a prophet, but Daniel was a president among presidents. I hope you understand that. Joseph was a prophet of sorts, but Joseph had mastery in wisdom in a nation of intellectuals. That means God did not call you to Christ to stay in isolation. Say amen. I was like, no, that's not the gospel. We're just going to go and win souls. Some places, some people you never see to preach gospel to them except to step into arena. I hope you know. When will you be able to stand before the president? You think he will come for your crusade? He may not come. What about the senators? But in business interactions, because of what you are offering, you get to meet them, and the one-on-one is possible because God wants to penetrate those places also. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to let us see. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace. Every day, thoughts like that are passing us by. They are coming in that direction every single day in our dispensation. There's an answer and a solution in your heart to a particular challenge that brings much increase and resources that God has programmed you to be the one that brings forth. And it has been proven over time, like I said again, the same way it looks as though COVID was the one thing that they couldn't conquer. Have we not conquered it to a degree? We have. Everything God ensures after a while, somebody will pick up the thought from heaven and they will practice it, and that plague or that disease will be kept underfoot. Why? God has given the heart to men. Say amen. Nothing the devil brings up can last forever. There's always a dominion that God will give to man eventually. They will bring it out. Now, I know the thoughts that I think towards you means there's a personalized walk with God. Noah is known for building ark. Abel is known for offering sacrifice. Enoch is known for walking with God. Abraham is known for believing God, that even when his body was dead, he brought forth. So everybody has something that God placed upon their hearts, that they brought us a miracle upon their hearts. And I noticed something interesting also. We call God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and none of the three were poor. Amen. None of them were. You think it's a coincidence? So it's not a coincidence. None of them was poor. And they were patriarchs, and they were priests, and they served God. They were even prophets, and none was poor. And the same God that spoke to them and called them to preach the gospel also gave them strategy when it comes to business and increase. He did. God did. Hallelujah. God did. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Genesis 26, let me show you something. Are you with me this morning? So, don't be left behind though. This season, glory to God. You are going to break off every limit upon your mind. Say amen. If all you are believing God for, aside spiritual goals, is that one day I'll get a car. A car is good. What kind of car? Any car. Car is car. Brothers and sisters, car is not car. Yes. I know when you're thinking, they just be humble. After all, we're in this world. We didn't bring anything. We're in a good place. We didn't bring anything in. Okay? You're not taking anything out. But while you are here, you don't need to suffer. You don't need to suffer. You know, I heard a robot say one day he was sitting in the back of a car. He traveled thousands of miles around the U.S. preaching the gospel of Jesus. Crusades, large tents. So one day the Holy Ghost whispered and said, Ola, the anointing of my spirit is in your body. Protect the anointing. He didn't get it. How many of you know God says things to us? It takes us a while to catch up. Now, the complaints on that God is not talking. You didn't understand what he said. There are things God spoke to me 5 years after. That's when I got it. I heard what he said, but I didn't understand what he said. In fact, that's one reason why when God speaks to you, don't doubt that he spoke. What you should do is process what he said in prayer. Because, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That means the realm is speaking from. Don't think you understand. I'm always sharing with us about how we got here and what God spoke to me. You know, God needs to blow your mind. Because the way you are thinking, think about it, the highest we've ever paid, Pastor Louis, Pastor Yamos was the highest we've ever paid for that, 400,000. That's the highest we've ever paid. We know how much was in the account. When we asked to go, there were two ways to think. Ministry will end here. Brother God was there. Ministry will just end here. That's the end. As though the one who called you, listen, did not know that they will say go. He does not know that that will happen. In fact, maybe he was giving you a signal to move before, but we're like, When we went to go and price all, they say it's 1 million. And the highest we ever paid is what? 400,000. It's 1 million. How will you, is it per use? And you're like, for what? The poverty. Because it's not even the money. Because if poverty is disturbing you, if they give you that money, they say, is it 1 million per use? Take the money, go and say, for what? You don't have it. Somebody can say, for what? You know the issue? You can't see yourself dropping that money. So even if they give you, say, don't worry, but I will look for another place. Now, somebody's offering to pay the money every time you use. You say, ah, no, that's wasted. You know why you are thinking? Your mind cannot see anything bigger than the 400 you have been paying. Very convenient. And when God wants to do something greater, he will move you out of your comfort zone. He will do, that's what he's going to do. He's going to send a thought to your heart that is meant to move you out of your comfort zone. They gave us 3 months to move. I checked the amount that was in the account. I prayed. God said, that's even the amount you are hiring inside your account. Go and drop it as a seed. In another ministry that is doing well. You know, you're feeling like, no, they don't even need the money. The ones I'm supposed to give us. That's not the way of God. So the people that were in finance were like, you know, if you don't know God and you didn't hear God well, they look at you, Reverend Sir. They don't tell you, is everything okay? But they're like, Reverend Sir. I said, with all the money, give us a check. Let me go. Reverend Sir, I said, have I led you astray in the past? I have not. Depend on that record. Bring the check. I went to go and drop the money. And in 3 months, we moved there. Now, the first amount we paid was 3 million for 3 years. We didn't borrow money. If we didn't take that step based on an instruction that came from above, we will still be either begging or we'll look for a lesser place. And from here, we're going to our place. And it's a land. And it's wide. And it's worthy. And it's perfect for us. When God speaks, you don't even check what is in your account. He just speaks. Because his word cannot return to him void. That is the way he designed you to also function. If the money is in your account, it's not faith. You need to understand. If the money is in your account, it's not what? It's not faith. All God needs to do that, has it given you the thought? Yes. You are too wrong with it. It is the only way you can experience the overflow. There's no other way. It's the only way you can. Last day of the meeting, illustration. The Spirit of God said, there are people here. You have been afraid to resign. How many of you remember? You've been afraid to resign. Do you know how many people came out? You know what that told me as a pastor? Many people are on the brink of a new season, but they are holding back. Somebody says why? The territory about to step into is what? Unfamiliar. I had a testimony recently of a man. He said he was working in the bank and everyone. Suddenly, he was terminated. But they have been taught God's word sufficiently. Just like we said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything that's within me, what? Bless his holy name. Because some people, the way they attach their job is their life. If you take the job, it's like someone just cut the thread of their life. That's how, the way they hold on is like, if you, I am finished. Is your identity? Is your pillow? Is your comfort? That's how much they attach to you. And it has become an idol. And usually when God wants to move you forward, it will sometimes come in form of opposition. So his appointment was terminated, and then the date was happened, he knelt down and began to offer praise and thanksgiving to God. I know the thoughts you think towards me. Now, what appears like evil has happened, but I know the thoughts that you think towards me. That thoughts of good, not of one, evil, to bring me an expected outcome. He was giving a testimony 2 years after the incident, 3 years after the incident. He said, the first 1 year, my salary, the salary he used to have at that time, I think was around 700,000. So the first deal he did by offering a product was 1 million. The next deal he did was 10 million. He was in a church when he was sick, so he was being careful. Said, but just think about it this way. The deal that followed after was in billions. Said, in 1 year, I built my house, which my salary in bank would never pay for. It would never pay for. He said, in fact, after things happened in 1 year, I looked at God. I said that they should have sacked me earlier. You know, when somebody starts to say, I want to come and thank God that they sacked me at work yesterday. You know, you think that something's wrong with you. But when God speaks, oh, glory to God, everything around you answers. Everything around you answers. Everything around you answers. I know the thoughts. I'm saying that because God told me to tell you, thoughts are coming like rain. You drop the known for the unknown. But it is known because God is the one that said it. Hallelujah. Because the increase we trust him for will not come without you running with those thoughts. He won't come. So it's a personalized walk. There are things he will tell you, he didn't tell somebody else. People have different testimonies of how they move from one place to the other. My testimony was different. What God told me to do was different. He also told me there are waters in my reservoir, the waters. He said, so far in ministry, you have only touched the water under the cover. He said, now, in the reservoir, take a little from the shore. He said, a little from the reservoir. And from that time, and every time there's been crisis in church, particularly with finances, the minute I sought God, a thought came, there's been an explosion. Every single time. God bears me witness every single time. Why? It's a pattern in God. See, God is consistent. God is a God of routine. He's consistent. If you go back, enlightenment comes. If you go back again, further enlightenment, what? It will come. See, I'm never stuck. I'm never stranded. There's always a way out for me. In the courts of God, I always have access to great things. And I will do great things this season. This year, 2025, it will be my best year yet. In the work of my hands, I will prosper like never before. I'll make excellent progress. I'll be 1,000 times bigger than I was before. Now stop. You know, I can lead you in confession and you say it. But when you're on your own, if you can start from 5 or 10, start. If you say you're 5 times bigger, think mentally as you're sitting now. What does 5 times bigger mean? What does 10 times bigger mean? But God's offer is 1,000 times more. Think about it. Now, based on what you are facing presently, can you imagine 10 times more than now? God spoke to Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Genesis 15 verse 1. God appeared to him, if you said him, I'm your shield, exceeding great reward. So that you will know that revelation did not sink. Abraham said, what will you give me? Seeing I don't have a child, I go childless. This Eliezer will soon be my heir. And God said, no. The one that will come out from your womb, it will be your heir. Then next, look at what God told him. Unto me you've given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is my heir. Verse 4. See what it says. And behold, the one of God came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir. But if that cometh forth out of your bowels, at this time, Abraham was at 75 plus. You would think it should happen at that point. It still didn't happen at that time. So, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to want, number them. And he said unto him, so that means, he said means, after Abraham obeyed, and came out from the tent and looked abroad. What was he looking at before? His own body. I'm going childless. I'm going means based on my age. There's no opportunity for me to bring forth. I'm going childless. And God said, look, can you number? Let your mind go far. Let it travel. And if this is God that created heaven and said, so shall your seed be in increase. Number. So, let me say it again. God has never had a problem coming through. Man has always had a problem shaking off the limits. And some of us will know there's a limit, like I said, on the illustration that I gave earlier. Right? A man of God was saying that the first time he ever flew first class. He used to be one of those who say things like, just get to where you are going. First class or economy. So, but the first time I was first class, the first thing was he was struggling with the seat. Because the seat there is different. The way they sit there, the way the seatbelt works is different. So he humbly asked a fellow passenger who has been flying long before him, can you help me to, how do you, so that you don't let everybody know that this is your journey just come. So after that, every trace of all of us who shall get to UK at the same time. Yes, but you not get there the same way. You know, you have to delete. You have to delete some of those things. Say the very best. Say with the very best. It's prepared by God for me. God wants the best for me. If there's no better way to arrive at a decision, there will not be anything like first class. Even ordinary train has first class. Yes, amen. Yes. Going around in a brand new car is better than Kabu Kabu, I'm telling you. Please free your mind. I'm just like, because what your mind cannot capture is difficult for God to bring it your way. I'm telling you. So you have to see that it's not too much for you. Say it's not too much for you. It's not too much for me. The blessings of life, they are reserved for me. Hallelujah. It's not covetousness. It's not. No, it's not. It's just a desire. I was giving that story. Let me finish it. So God told him that the anointing is in your body. Protect the anointing. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's wear and tear as you go from one city to city, one nation to nation, traveling by road. You come down for a crusade of 3, 4, 5 days. Your body is worn out from the trip. So protect the anointing. So from that day forward, because of the word that God gave to him, he trusted God to begin to fly from place to place. And when he began to fly, his body was resting. Now, the truth of the matter is this. Any minister that functionally anointed, once your body starts, you stop yielding. You stop yielding. And your body is still mortal. Even though the power within you is immortal. The body is still mortal. So your body can get tired through to wear and tear. You're traveling alone for 12 hours. And by the time you get to where you are going, even those who still go by flight still complain sometimes. You did an 8-hour trip. And by the time you got there, you had only 1 hour before the meeting starts. Everybody there is coming fresh except you as a minister. So God told him, protect the anointing. That means it is better for you to fly. It's not luxury. It's common sense. If you want to be effective, say amen. If you've ever gone to UK before, maybe like 8 hours or 6 hours. If you go by road, don't let us think it. It's evil thought. It's evil thought. Because there's some places. I went to Sabin, not my degree. In those days, it was Young Shagro. That was the vehicle. That was the, you know, those buses. Young Shagro. I've never gone that far away from home before in my life. And when we got to, I think, Kano, it was 12 hours. It was now 15 hours. My mind just disconnected from home. On the road. 18 hours before we got there. They were even telling us we were even early. I said, 18 hours. You cannot get angry and say, I'm going back to Lagos. You have to plan it. To go back. It's not like you just get angry. Now you have to save your alawi until, because you can't just say, I'm even, if you're angry, you calm down. Because the money to even go and come. But some people met us in camp. They came by here. And I'm not sure it's more than 1 hour. And you're telling me that's not better. I don't know. King is in Kosovo. He flew. What's the time between here and Kosovo? How many hours? If you're going to Kosovo by road. Even just. It's not even under it. How many hours just? It's almost 12 hours. Flying is better. Say amen. Amen. See, I want to enjoy the scenery. Don't enjoy the scenery. Enjoy the scenery. Please enjoy the scenery in the air. You understand? You fly first. When you get there, amen. God wants us to have the best things in life. But as we pursue his thoughts, resources, we are never told at any time to pursue resources. We're told to pursue divine thoughts. And as we pursue, everything you need will be what? Added. That's where God does things. So 2025 is a year of deliberately pursuing God, downloading thoughts that God is giving you. There are things God wants to do in your life. There are connections. General business is good, but specific ones are also what? Better. That he wants you to have. When they ask you to open to, we read Genesis 15, right? 26. Let's be 26. Genesis 26. Every single one of the patriarchs, they had instructions. Verse 1, and there was famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in days of Abraham. So there was famine in days of Abraham. And there was famine in days of, this is Isaac now. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father, and I will make thy seed to multiply the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall what? All the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, this is a passage where the Bible speaks about Isaac digging a well by instruction. He dug the first, they contented. He dug the second, they contented. He dug the third, they strove with him for it. So the first contention, second contention, the third one, they left him. Well, they noticed something. Each time Isaac dug, he found water. When they dug, they didn't find water. Why was Isaac finding water? God said, dwell in this land. Dwell in this land by instruction. So he was digging well by instruction. The third time, when they saw that the water was not necessarily in the ground, it was wherever Isaac dug by divine instruction. And when he dug the third one and he didn't contend, he called the rebel, God has what? Made room for us. And in the same year, the same time there was famine, Isaac sowed in that land. If you don't read the scripture very well, you would think he's just talking about sowing in physical land. The word land there refers to the instruction God gave him. He sowed in the realm where God told him to sow. That is, you will see him planting physically, but he's planting based on what? Revelation. And of course, God gave him wisdom to do. I hope you know how to dig irrigation through the family. Where did the idea come from? It was God. How come nobody saw that was a way to produce folks until Isaac came? It was divine instruction. And in the same year, Isaac reaped what? 100-fold. And the man grew and waxed forward and became very great unto the people envied him. But what did Isaac do? Abraham obeyed God's voice. Isaac followed Abraham in obeying God's voice. Isaac also experienced the increase that Abraham, his father, had experienced. So it's a generation of hearing God and obeying. For faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? So in my personal devotion, as I pray, as I look to God, as I practice scriptures, God expects me to hear what he has to say. And when I hear what he has to say, that's how I transact in life. It's not general instructions that will always produce super results. It's the specific one that tells you out of the general one. A man of God spoke about something that happened to him when he was on the mission field. I'm trying to remember his name now. He said, he kept having fainting spells. You pray, you rebuke, you bind. God knows your constitution. He knows your entire system. He knows how your body is. He was having fainting spells. He was doing mission work in Africa. He kept having fainting spells. So he felt it was something demonic. He bound. He cast. The spells continued. So he began to pray and see God's face. Remember, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This applies to literally every area. Is it personal to you? Is it about your progress? It applies to every area. You are thinking of opening a shop. One of the things I've noticed again in Nigeria as a whole is I see people who open shops because other people are opening shops. From morning to night, no profit, but they have opened shop. It's as though you want to be seen. I'm sure I'm busy doing something. I went to pick up a package from a woman before. A section of her house was a storehouse, and she's online on Instagram. And from wall to wall, all the things she was selling was there inside her house. You pick it up from her house, or she sends a dispatch right there. And she has a huge page. No shop outside. So it's not my shop. If I didn't go to her house, I won't know that the house is the shop. Amen. I didn't know. You said, okay. You first outside business. So, Pastor Jay, so I'm thinking of first getting a shop. No. You first need an instruction. And instruction from above. That's where prosperity comes. What did he ask you to do? That's the first thing. The world that we used to live in is not the world we're living in now. Things are changing rapidly. And people who don't have the capacity for change will be left out. Office jobs are changing. There are many jobs people have now that AI is taking over. That's becoming, so to speak, obsolete in that sense, rules. So there are new things coming up that for you to be relevant in the age we're in now, you have to have divine thoughts and divine ideas and certain skills. And it's better for God to lead you and give instructions. I'm telling you. So going to school and having a certificate is no longer enough. No. That people work Monday to Thursday, not Monday to Friday. They don't work 8 to 5 job. It is 8 to 1. Sometimes 9 to 2. All the money you are making in a year, they make it in 1 month. It's not working hard, it's working smart. They sweat, not physically, they sweat here. Hallelujah. The world is changing. In the day of Isaac, the greatest technology was irrigation. Did it work? Yes. He produced 100-fold because God said in this land, so, how will I sow and succeed? This is what you're going to do. The same God that came to Jacob and showed him animal husbandry. Said, put it in front of the animals. Let them see it. As they behold it, they will become what they behold. And Jacob practiced. And Jacob increased. Because a prophecy was hanging that said you will increase. Then the technology came as he sought God. How do I know that Isaac was seeking God? Read the story very well in chapter 25. When they brought Rachel to him for the first time, he was in the field meditating. Who do you think he learned meditation from? His father. He was meditating. So while Isaac was meditating, his wife was coming. That is a strategy if you are not married. Amen. They were bringing his wife. He didn't go and pursue her. They brought the wife. Amen. Hallelujah. So every one of them, are you laughing? Every one of them, there were thoughts that came from heaven to their hearts. It was personal now. God told Abraham, go to Egypt. God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Can you see? You can copy. You cannot. Stay in Gerar. So what is this saying to you? So it's good for you to be encouraged by somebody else's testimony. But the issue is that the same God overall is rich unto all that what? Call upon. So what did he tell you to do? It's not what he told me to do. I can be encouraged by what he told you to do, but I still have to hear for myself. Instructions are personalized. They're personalized. And as we go on, one of the things I'm going to show us as we go on is the more consistent your walk with God, you will come out with a boldness and a confidence that every patriarch had. What's that confidence? Even when trouble comes and there's a deadline, they will first publicly boast in God and go back in private to go and talk to him and have made Chakara yielding. You have to come through. I hope you understand that. That's what they do. I've already boasted in your name. So you have to come through. And God always comes through. That I'm capable. I'm able to do what you have said. I'll come through for you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'll be there for you. I'll come through for you. You know, when Joshua was about to obey instructions that only Moses was hearing before, when Joshua began to hear, God says, as you obey this, I'll begin to magnify you before the people. I will show them that as I was with Moses, so am I what? And it's going to come by instructions. And instructions are crazy. How can you stand before a city whose walls cannot be breached by any artillery known by man? And you are telling people that God says we should not talk for 6 days. What should we do? We should be marching. Even the boldness to do that. God told you this contract that you are bidding for. Other people are bidding for. I will give it to you. What should I do? Say for 3 days, don't pick any call.
Some of you are laughing.
Don't pick any call. You see, I'm just telling you the way God speaks to us. You don't know what's going to happen in those 3 days. Now, you are not picking any call. Maybe a call will come that will stabilize you. But beyond that is that when you are not picking, God is speaking. And your heart becomes strong. And while you are listening to him, he's walking on the outside with angels. And then on the last day of the instruction he gave you, as you praise him, a call comes in. We've been looking for you. Everybody that has come, nobody has had the kind of collection you had. Please send in your bid. We're giving you the contract just like that. Is that not better than lobbying? Is that not better than lobbying? And the things that people are sweating for, God will bring to your table this season. In the name of Jesus. Our God is just, our God is fair. A man prayed a prayer one day and tears came out of my eyes. I began to pray. He was in trouble. Is any if I know another God that is greater, or call him? But I don't know any other that's greater than you. That's why I'm calling upon you. Did God come true? Your guess is as good as mine. He did. People have prayed as, it's not even conventional faith. They have prayed at certain times. I told this story in those slave days when a mother and a child were about to be separated. They were being sold on a slave block. I've never forgotten that story. And the mother wanted them to be sold together to one family. But the slave master separated them. They were about to auction off the child, and the mother was elsewhere. And the mother prayed a prayer, God, if I'm in your position and you need my help, I will help you. I need your help now. Help me. It wasn't long prayer. That was what she said, but it was from the heart. A young boy came with the father to the slave market to come and buy a slave. When she prayed that prayer, for no natural reason, a young man picked an interest in the girl. Said, Daddy, can I have some money? Very wealthy man. So what do you want to do? I just want to buy that girl. So folks, I just want to buy her. And you know it was the divine hand of God. And the child collected money from the father, paid for the girl, and took the girl and took her back to the mother. Paid for already. God does mighty things. I'm saying that because of Noble house, the door is open. A door of increase, a door of wealth. A door of abundance, a door of increase. Strange acts, unusual doors. Fever like rain, falling upon men and women. The diligence in the place of prayer and fellowship is to keep your heart secure in me and not in things. Then I will trust you with things. Things that many are chasing. But because your pursuit is me and I'm your desire, then it will be easy for me to bring the resources your way. And you may show the world that it pays to serve me. It pays to honor me. It pays to walk in my light. For the thoughts originally come from me. I know where the treasures are, for I put them there. I know where the increase is. I programmed it to be. And I will drop upon your heart as you are faithful and diligent and consistent. And what will bring you out of the rat race? will come from destruction and whisper in your ear in the night. And when you wake up, it will be clear in your heart as day. Then be bold to take the step. I'm waiting for you in that place where very few come into. The place of limitlessness. That place where nothing is impossible. I'm waiting for you in the place where you will not ask me to cancel debts, but you pay off the debts of others. I'm waiting for you in that place where there will be so much increase that everything called lack will be a thing of the past. I'm waiting for you in that place where you learn to trust me. And the byproduct of the increase I will bring is more trust, more commitment, more service, and more yieldedness to my ways. I'm not a poor God. I'm the God of increase. I'm the God that lifts. I'm the God that blesses. My blessing is reserved especially for my own, for my sons and my daughters. So open your ears and open your eyes. For as I speak in your ear, I will open your eyes. And you will see the season that's upon you. And you will see the activity of angels, both divine beings and human beings. The angels that will work for you will both the divine ones that I send and the human ones that I've commissioned to open doors for you and grant you access into places where men are struggling to get into. And when they come and whisper, "No, I'm at work. I'm ready to give me all the praise and all the glory," said the Spirit of God. Let's give him thanks this morning. Let's give him thanks this morning. I will not be left behind. I'll walk with the Father into the great places, the secret treasures. There will be no broken up to me. I will have increase this season without fail. I'll receive the thoughts of heaven, the thoughts of God. I'll walk in his fullness. I will not dilly-dally. I will not waste time. I will not draw back. I will not be rebellious. I will step over into the fullness. In this same land, I will prosper. I will enjoy increase more than ever before. My mind will not be limited. Every barrier in my consciousness may be pulled down. May the limitlessness of my God may fill my consciousness. The thoughts of God, they fill my heart. I see what my Father is capable of doing. I walk with him into the newness, into the new things he has prepared for me. He has purchased for me an inheritance. I will walk in the fullness of it. I will know no lack. I will know no limitations. Miracles will spring forth in everything that I do. The finger of God will be clearly seen in all my affairs. Give him praise. Give him praise. Father, we thank you. We are grateful for what you've said to us and what you are doing in our lives. We are thankful. Mighty are the things you will do. Glorious are your works in our lives. We give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name.